Thank God, so many people.
Okay, so we are holding on Ayin Ches Amud Aleph. Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, five lines from the end of the narrow lines. Line is Mekavta. Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, the fifth line from the end of the narrow lines. We discussed yesterday, the Mishnah had told us that we have machlokes between the Chachamim and Nachum Hamadi about you sell a donkey, do you automatically sell its gear with it as well? The Chachamim said no, Nachum Hamadi said yes, and then we had Rabbi Huda saying sometimes yes, sometimes no, which we'll discuss in the Gemara soon what Rabbi Huda's position is. But for meanwhile, we're dealing with the Chachamim and Nachum Hamadi. We started saying yesterday that we said yesterday that Ula had said there's a difference between the different kinds of gear we're talking about. You have gear that's meant for riding on the donkey, and then you have gear that's meant for carrying burdens, for carrying packages. The Tanakhama takes the view that usually you use a donkey for riding, so therefore things like sacks or saddlebags or whatever wouldn't be included, but things like a regular saddle or the straps that are used to secure the saddle onto the donkey would be included, and then Nochem Amadi would be saying that includes all of them. Because he says a donkey is meant for carrying packages.
So why should the saddle be included then?
Okay, so you actually have the Rashbam takes the view that when Ula is saying that Nochem Amadi holds Stam Chamor Lamasri Koy means only for carrying burdens.
But that
according to most Rishonim, it's not so actually. According to most Rishonim, Nochem Amadi is saying it is used for riding, but it's also used for carrying packages. But the thing is, we mentioned yesterday, the Ukuf Maudaf, etc., that Ashbam had made a point of saying these things are dual use. They're used both for riding and for packages. So according to the other
Rishonim,
a certain kind of saddle is used because you don't want to chase the animal's back. So there's a certain kind of saddle which does double duty for riding or for carrying packages. So therefore, that would be included according to either one of them, whether you say it's the Rechiva or the Masui, whereas then you have the things that are made only for carrying packages. Most Rishonim learn differently than the Rashbam. I didn't mention this yesterday, but that's how it is, that they say that Nochem Amadi is saying that a chamur is meant for, is when we say that it's meant for carrying packages, we don't mean only that. We mean for packages as well as for riding. Nochem Amadi agrees. Yeah, but it is just as well used for riding. Therefore, you don't have to say that the maudas and then so forth are double use.
So that was the chiddush then.
That's what Nochem Amadi wants to inform us. That since it's used for both, since the chamur is equally well used for both, then you do, because you still have, for example, other things also. You know, we had at the beginning of the parak, you sell a boat, what is and isn't included. You had in the previous parak, you sell a house, what is and isn't included. Fine. So you need to say what is sold and what is not. But now we're going to get into the question of this gear that we're talking about. Are we talking about it's actually on the animal now when it's being sold, or are we talking about even if it's not on it right now? But these
and
are things that would it's whatever. It's stored away in the barn right now or whatever. Are they still included? Right now the donkey doesn't happen to have its saddle on it. Is it included or not? Is the machloikis between Nochem Amadi and Chachamim only when the gear is on the animal? So therefore, in other words, the sack, the saddlebag or whatever, so if they're not on it, then Nochem Amadi would agree. That they're not sold, and in fact, the Rashbam goes further. Maybe even the ukuf and the mardas, the saddle blanket, whatever. Maybe even those wouldn't be included if they're not on it. So then, if they're not on the animal, then Nochem Amadi would agree that none of them are. That whatever's not on the animal is not sold right now. Tosfos learns differently. Actually, Tosfos learns differently than the Rashbam in that he says that no, the saddle blanket, etc. There's no question. The Gemara doesn't even have a question according to Tosfos that they'd be included because they're standard equipment for a donkey.
You can't use it
without them, but whatever. They're standard equipment for a donkey. But we're talking about according to that we'd be talking about the sack and the saddle bag and so forth. Yeah. Or Odilma B'she'en and all of Machlokas, or maybe the other way around. Maybe the Machlokas in our Mishnah is when they're not on the animal. Maybe when the deer is on the animal, even the sack, the diskia, etc., maybe the Chachamim would agree, well, they're on it right now. Yes, they're not standard equipment for a donkey, because according to them, a donkey is mainly used for riding. But the fact is, they are on it right now. Maybe therefore they would agree in that case. And the Machlokas is only if they're not on it. And you have Rishonim that have a gear saw, so that the Gemara asks a third possibility. Tosfos mentions that the Tosfos says the Gemara could have asked this, implying they didn't have this gear saw, and neither do we in our Gemara. There are Rishonim who have the gear saw that the Gemara goes on to say, or maybe the Machlokas is in both cases. Maybe it doesn't matter whether the gear is on it or off it. Yeah. Toshma, Ubizman Sha'omalehu B'chol Masha'olav. Well, the Mishnah continues that it wasn't in our mission actually. A Braisa says that if he tells him that if the seller tells the buyer that I'm selling you huva chomasha olav, it and everything that is on it, hare kolon mechorin, then we say that everything is included, including the sack and the diskia and so forth. Now we're talking about that's what we have to figure out. But hello, but we're saying that the point is we're saying that they're masha olav, they're on it, they're on the animal. So, if you say, like the first way we thought that the machlokas between Nachum Amadi and the Chachamim is if the gear is on the animal or not, well then fine, we can say this braisa is according to the Rabbanan. That, they would say, if you don't say Huva Chomasha Olav, then only certain things are included, only the saddle blanket, etc., but not the sack and the diskia. Even though they're on it, if you didn't say who will chomash olav, because they're not standard gear for Nochum Amadi would say differently, fine, but the braisa can be like the Chachamim. Yeah. If you said specifically, I'm telling you who will chomash olav, you said explicitly, then yes, it would include the sack and the diskia as well.
According to all opinions.
Yeah, right. Nochum Amadi would say you don't even have to say who will chomash olav, but Chachamim would say you have to say, yeah. We could say at least we have an opinion that we have a known opinion that represents what it says in the Braita, the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim would make a distinction whether he says B'chol Masha Olav or not. If he says B'chol Masha Olav, these things are included. He doesn't say B'chol Masha Olav, then they're not included. Nochum Amadi would say there's no difference. Eli, Amad B'she'en, Odin, Olav, Machlokas. But if you say the Machlokas is B'chlau when the gear is not on the animal at all, Odin, Olav, Dibahakam, Machorin, but you would say that when the gear is on the animal, then everybody agrees it's sold, Homani, without specifying Homani, then who is this Braisa according to? It doesn't work according to Nochum Amadi. It doesn't work according to the Chachamim either, according to that way of looking at it. Doesn't that necessarily prove, therefore, that the Chachamim must be arguing, in the case where the gear is on the animal, where they're saying that even so, if you don't say who will chomash olav, then it's not, then the sack and the diski are not included.
In other words, it's another way of saying that the Chachamim require a specification.
They would require two things, or not two things. They would require it. Regardless, they would say whether the gear is on the animal or not. Well, if the gear is not on the animal, then there's no way to include it unless you specifically mention it. If the gear is on the animal, even that does not work with the sack and the diskia, which are meant for packages rather than for riding, unless you say,
Huwa Chomashal.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So, to specify.
Right. Doesn't that mean we have to understand the Chacham's position that way? Otherwise, if we understand their position to be, that if the gear is on the animal, it's always sold, then the Braisa does, then why does the Braisa have to tell us that you have to say, Huwa Chomashal? The answer is no. La'olam b'she'en odin olav machlokas. No, you could just as well answer that the Chachamim would say their opinion only when the gear is not on the animal. Maybe they would say if it's on the animal, then it is automatically sold, even if you didn't say huva chomasha olav.
And what's the difference?
Wait. You could still say that this braisa goes according to that banan, the ema, but you can fix up, you can change the wording of the braisa slightly, not to say that he says hu v'chomasha olav, but uvizman sh'omalei hu v'chomasha royalis olav. If you say the animal and everything that is suitable to be on it, meaning any kind of gear that normally would be on the animal. Now, even the Chachamim, who say that animals that a donkey is usually used for riding, they will agree that donkeys are sometimes used to carry packages. Therefore, the sack and the diskia can reasonably be included in Masha Roy Lias Olav, something that's suitable to be on a junk. Therefore, if you say that, it would be included. but not to say that if it was just on the animal, it happened to be on the animal right now, and you even if you were to say who v'chol masha olav, not necessarily would that work.
Except that masha olav is very vague. I mean, it can include anything.
It would include anything that is normally put on a donkey.
Well,
now,
not necessarily normally.
No, shadroi liyos olav. That's suitable. In other words, that's normally fighting, and that's what it means. Roy means that's normally something that's used as part of a donkey's gear.
Suitable doesn't mean habitual. It's different.
Okay, but that
suitable means you can place it on a donkey.
Yeah, you could place anything on a donkey, but that's not what it means. A hat, for example, is not Roy for a donkey, even though you could conceivably put one on a donkey's head. But so that's. Okay.
But I have a package. Could be suitable.
Well, a package, but then you'd put the package in the saddlebags. We were talking about the saddlebags. We're talking about, but yeah, okay. So we don't have a proof one way or the other from this braisa, because the braisa may have meant not what's actually on the animal, but what's going to be on the animal. Okay.
That's
so you can't prove one way or the other. Toshma, come, let's try to prove from the next part of the Mishnah, where we have Rabbi Yehuda comes in with his opinion. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a palmim mechorin, palmim shein and mechorin. We said that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that sometimes the gear is sold along with the donkey, sometimes not. He said the difference being if you say chamor chazeh versus chamor chahu, as we'll talk, as we talked yesterday in the Mishnah, and as we'll talk at the end of the story, right before the next Mishnah. So, my lav amai dekama tanakama koi Rabbi Yehuda. Now, on the face of it, shouldn't we assume that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the same case that the Tanakama is referring to? In other words, we're saying over here, now, Rabbi Yehuda's case is talking about, he clearly says the kale of olive. He clearly says that the donkey is being sold with its gear on it. And it depends whether he says there or who. Presumably, we should assume that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to the same case that the Tanakhama and Nochum Amadi were. In other words, what happened? In other words, yes, like our first assumption, the case is the donkey is standing there with all of the gear on it. The Tanakhama says the gear that has to do with packages is not included, the sack and the diskia and whatever. Rabbi Yehuda, Nochum Amadi says it is. And Rabbi Yehuda comes and makes and tries to split the difference over here and say that it depends whether you say there or whether you say who. So that would prove that, again, that would prove that the Chachamim and Nochum Amadi are arguing in that case when the gear is on the animal, not when it's not when it's off.
That's
what we have to assume. The answer is loy. No, not necessarily is that the case. Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily addressing the same case as the Tanakama and Nochum Amadi were. Rabbi Yehuda milta achriti kama. Rabbi Yehuda may be saying a different case. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda is not necessarily coming to be machria, to make a compromise between the two of them. We could say that the Chachamim would be saying that you're assuming, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is trying to split the difference between Nochum Amadi and the Tanakama. Maybe not, though. Maybe the Tanakama is talking about a case where the gear is not on the animal. They're saying, therefore, it's not sold, as opposed to if it were on it, everything would be sold, including the sack, the diskia, and all. Nochum Amadi says it doesn't matter whether they're on it or not. Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, you should know, you, Tanakama, are saying that if the gear is on the animal, it's automatically always sold. I disagree with that. I hold that there are times when it wouldn't be sold. In other words, he may not be coming to compromise between Nochum Amadi and the Chachamim. He may be coming to say a case where you, Chachamim, would say that everything is sold. I say it's not sold. So not like you, and not even further away from Nochum Amadi's position, and further away from your position, such as depends if he says there or if he says who. So not necessarily is Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the Mishnah tell us one way or the other anything about what the Chachamim versus Nochum Amadi hold. But not necessarily is he coming to find a middle ground between them. He may be staking out a position of his own.
Type of specification that changes.
That's whether you say who or whether you say that. Yeah.
And
the Chachamim would be saying, if we understand it, if we understand it the way that we are trying to understand it now, we would say, again, we have two possible ways how we can understand the Chachamim. One is, if the gear is on the animal, then they're saying, fine, but only the riding gear is sold, not the package gear. Mm-hmm. And Nochum Amadi disagrees with that. Mm-hmm. Or they could be saying, if the gear is on the animal, definitely everything that's on it right now is sold, whether it's riding or whether it's package gear. Only if the gear is not on it, then the saddle and the saddle blanket and whatever stuff that's used for riding will be sold regardless whether they're on the animal or not. But the saddle and the saddle bag and the sacks and whatever will not unless they're actually on the animal right now. Yeah. So we still don't have a proof one way or the other. Amalei Ravina Ravashi Toshma, come to prove from the previous Mishnah that we had on Ein Zayin Amud Beis. We said Mocher as a Koren, Mocher as a Prodes. We said that if you sell a carriage, a coach, you didn't automatically sell with it the mules that usually pull it. The Tani Rav Tachlifa Bamarava Kamei Rabbahu, and we had this yesterday in the Gemara, that Rav Tachlifa Bamarava learned, repeated over a Braise in front of a Rabo, that said differently, Mocher as a Koren, Mocher as a Koren, Mocher as a Prodes. That no, if you sell the coach, you do automatically sell the mules with it. The Amalei and Rav Avohu says to Rav Tachlifa, V'hanam loy machatanan, or what are you doing? Your Braisa contradicts the Mishnah that says he didn't sell them. The Amalei Isme, and we said over there in the Gemara that Rav Tachlifa asked Rav Avohu, in that case, should I delete this Braisa from my repertoire? Is it evidently a mistaken Braisa that doesn't belong, that shouldn't be taught anymore? The Amalei loy, and Rav Avohu tells him, no, you don't have to delete it. Just to Tagim Masnitach Badukimbo, you just have to, from now on, explain that this Braisa is talking about where they're actually attached, where they're actually harnessed to the coach, to the wagon.
In which case, what?
Well, Miklal de Masnitin Beshein Adukimbo. Well, then, in other words, the implication, based on what Rav Avohu is telling us, is the Mishnah over there on Ein Zayin was talking about a case where the mules are not harnessed to the wagon. Therefore, they're not necessarily included when you sell the wagon. As opposed to, if they're harnessed to it, then they are included. Well, we should assume that two subsequent Mishnayos, which are all, in general, the Gemara likes to assume that all Mishnayos within one parak, sometimes even across multiple parakim, that deal with the same topic, that deal with various variations on the same topic, are all representing the same opinion and the same basic scenario and whatever. So, if we're going to say that the previous Mishnah is talking about that the mules are not hitched to the wagon, then we should assume our Mishnah, by the same way, would be talking about where the donkey is not hitched up with his gear, where his gear is not on it. And in that case, we would say that's the case where the Chachamim disagree with Nochem Amadi and say that the gear for carrying packages, the saddlebag and whatever, isn't sold. But if they're on it, the same way as in the previous Mishnah, if the mules are hitched to the wagon, then they are sold with it. That was what the Braisa said. The same way, we would say that if the donkey has all of the gear on it, even the packet, even the gear for carrying packages, all of that would be sold.
The problem with that is the Mishnah is totally silent about that.
But the Mishnah may be silent, but we should be able to infer it from the previous Mishnah. We should assume that a series of Mishnayos is talking about similar topics. It's talking about similar cases.
Can't we explain this Mishnah without referring to the previous Mishnah?
In general, we try to assume that not. In fact, that is what the Gemara is going to answer, that each Mishnah in our parak stands on its own. But we don't like to do that. We would rather assume, to begin with, that when Rebbe first composed, when Rebbe first edited and then finalized the Mishnayos as we have them, and he didn't even, many of the Mishnayos go back in their form long before Rebbe, actually, that when Tanoim taught these things, and they weren't necessarily taught as separate Mishnayos, they may have been taught as one long thing. Even nowadays, the Mishnayos are not necessarily divided the same way in the printed Mishnayos as they are in the printed Gemaras. So we should assume, unless we have reason to say otherwise, that all of the Mishnayos in a given topic are all meant as a continuation of each other. And they're all, and what's otherwise specified, they're all talking about the same case. Okay. The Gemara says, Adrabah. Okay, but if you're going to argue that way, if you're going to argue that like that, that you're going to take the continuum of Mishnayos and argue that they're all talking about the same case, Amaresha, how about you can go back to the first Mishnah of the Perek and see that it's different. Because we said over there in the first Mishnah, Resha means the first part. Sometimes it can mean within one Mishnah, you have the Resha and the Sefer. Sometimes the Gemara will use Resha and Sefer to mean, again, because you have the Mishnayos are not necessarily divided up the way we have them, that it could mean earlier and later in the same parak, in the same continuum of Mishnayos that we're dealing with. You have, by the way, you have chapters in the Gemara where even nowadays all the Mishnayos of the Perek are printed at the beginning of the Perek, and then the Gemara goes and discusses them piece by piece, and then in Kisra Yad you have even more cases like that. So the whole question of where one particular Mishnah begins and another one ends is a little bit fluid. In Pirkei Avos, for example, you also have, you know, you can find siddurim where you have the Alter Rebbe siddur, and the siddur Tilos Hashem, which is based on that, and then you have Zeltish siddurim where they have a different division of the Mishnayos in many of the chapters of Pirkei Avos. Anyway,
including in some of the wording
is also, yeah, of course, there's good stuff.
Tell me about
you have
some editions that first it says with them without the name Rabbi.
Okay, yeah. You have tons of different gear sizes in Mishnayos. That's no chiddush. But I'm talking about the division where not so much the order is generally the same, but the where one ends and the next one begins. Okay. Anyway. So Eimer Resha, Aval Lemacha Loyas Avodim Bleyas Antiki. What about then in the first Mishnah of the Perek when we talk about selling a boat? And we said that when you sell the boat, you don't automatically sell with it the avadim, the slaves who row it and crew it and whatever. V'loyas antiki, and we said you also don't sell the antiki. V'am rinan, and we said over there in the Gemara, my antiki. We said yesterday, what is antiki? Omer apapa iska de begava. It means the merchandise that's on the ship. So adarabah, then there we're talking about the merchandise that's on the ship. But if it's off the ship, there's no chiddush. Of course, if you're selling a ship, you're not going to sell the merchandise that was already unloaded from it or never had been loaded onto it. So therefore, adarabah, you should argue the same way as over there of necessity, the antiki has to be on the ship. The same way you could argue our missionary is talking about the chamor with deer on it.
Which is the safer,
being our Mishnah. And then what about the previous Mishnah where we said the previous Mishnah was talking about where the mules are not harnessed to the wagon? Ella, okay, so you have to answer Tana Mili Mili Katani. Fine, you have to just say that the Tana is just listing separate cases. Each Mishnah is, unlike what we assume, that all the Mishnayos are one continuum and that they're all talking about similar cases. No, each one is its own kind of case. The first Mishnah with the Antiki was that it's on the boat, and nevertheless it's not sold. The second one was talking about the mules are not hitched up to the wagon, and are not hitched to the wagon, therefore they're not sold. Had they been hitched up to the wagon, they would have been. And our Mishnah is back to talking about our Mishnah could be talking about that the gear is on the donkey and still it's not sold.
The question is why don't start by all the Mishnahs that are linked and attached to the donkey, and then we go to where they're not attached.
Because it doesn't have to be. Each Mishnah is meant as a thing of its own.
It
confused us, but now we clarified it. That doesn't. And actually, the Rashba says there's a logical reason for it. He says he gives a couple of reasons, but one of them is Balabatish, is you can't use a wagon without some kind of animal to pull it, at least not until they invented engines. Whereas you can use you can use a donkey without gear, or vice versa. You could the gear itself you can use for other, a saddlebag, for example, you can use as a bag for other purposes or whatever. So therefore, it's more logical to say that when it comes to the wagon, if the mules are hitched up to it, therefore then they're automatically included in the sale. And only if as opposed to a donkey with its gear, where even if the gear is on the donkey, doesn't necessarily mean that it was meant to be sold together. Gemara says Simon Zagam Nathan. So we actually don't have a conclusion then. We haven't proved one way or the other what the machloitis of the Chachamim and Nachum Amadi is. Are they arguing only when the gear is on the donkey? Are they arguing when it's not on it? Or maybe both? The Gemara hasn't come to a conclusion in the end. Therefore, as usual in such cases, when we don't have a conclusion, we say Hamotzi Mechaver El Varaya. You bought a donkey. You want to claim that the gear comes with it.
Okay.
You are going to have to prove it. If not, then you don't get it. Again, according to and then within that you have the argument between the Rashbam and most other Rishonim whether we would say that we're talking only about the gear for packages, or whether when we said at the beginning that the Chachamim say that a donkey is meant for riding and Nachum Amadi says it's meant for packages, do they mean exclusively for one or the other, or do they mean primarily for one or the other? So you have that comes into play also. Which gear are we saying would automatically be included if it's on it, and which might be included or might not be included even if it's not on the animal? Yeah.
Since we don't know which one.
Since we don't know, then okay, so now we're going to have the Gemara give the Simon Zagam Nasan, which is a Simon for this. It's letters from the names of six Tanoim, who we're going to say who all have a similar opinion about this topic. Now, the Gemara does that a lot of times. Abaya does that in a bunch of places in Shas, but he points out that a number of Tanoim have similar opinions on a certain subject. The simon is the Zagam stands for Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nosson, Sumchus, and Nochum Hamadi. There's a sefer called Mizmor the David from Rabbi David Powder, one of the great Sfardish Rabbanim of a couple hundred years ago. He has in his sefer, he has a discussion of the meaning of all the simonim in Shas, besides the surface meaning. He says, for what he says, among other things, why didn't they use the initials of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Meir? Why go for the third letter of Rabbi Eliezer's name, the fourth letter, the fifth letter of Rabbi Eliezer's name, and the patronym? No, he says, sometimes it's because, yeah, we want to use a letter that has a strong sound to it. But he says another reason also, because then we would have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Meir would spell out the word Osham. We don't want to do that, and therefore they changed it.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So what did we say for the rest?
Okay. So for the rest, it is. There's no problem with the word Nosson. Nosson, Nisan, whatever. So yeah, that was left out. So Omar Abai, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nosson, the Sumchus, the Nochum Hamadi, all these six Tanoim. Kulu Sviro Lahu, Kinis Zabin Inish.
Nochum Hamadi was from Persia?
From media. The Pashtus, yeah. Means he was from media, yeah.
He's not
mentioned. He's not mentioned too often, but he's mentioned. He's mentioned in Ksubos among the Dayone of Yerushalayim. Yeah, he's in the last. He's mentioned in Nazir. That's a bunch of Nazirim we learned over there came to bring their korbanos at the end of their Nazirus and found the Beis Mikdash Charuv, and he was master neder for them on the ground that he said if you knew the Beis Mikdash was going to be destroyed, you wouldn't have made this neder of Nazirus. And the other Chacham disagreed with him and said that's no Lord. He appears in a number of places in Shas.
So
he was there. He lived at the time of the Chorban, apparently. Yeah.
He was a contemporary with these.
Yeah. Well, he's a contemporary of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Well, it depends which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel we're talking about. You have two Rabbi Shimon Gamliels, we don't know. Okay. Anyway. All right. So all these
things. Which one are we talking about?
We don't know. Usually it's not specified. Usually I think where unspecified, usually Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means the second one, the father of Rebbe. And there are places where it means the first one. Okay, anyway. I'm going to buy Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nosson, B'Simchos, B'Nochum Hamadi, Kulu Svir Lahu. They all hold basically as follows: Ki Nizabin Inish Midi, that when a person sells something, Iyu V'Chot Hashmishte Nizabin, then he sells not only the thing itself, but all the things that are usually used together with it. Now, we don't mean, the Rashbam explains, and Tosfos also explains, we don't mean that literally all six of them would agree with each other necessarily about the individual cases. But in general, that's the general trend of their individual opinions in their various places, that when you sell something, you're selling more things than the other Chachamim would say are included. You're including other things that usually go with it as well.
So you sell a horse, you sell a saddle.
For example, with it. Yeah. Which, by the way, though, the fact that we're mentioning that these six Tanoim hold basically this way is as much as to say, as we've learned before, that Halacha is not like them. Because the implication is only these six Chachamim hold that way. All the other Chachamim don't hold that way. Yeah. Yeah. So, where do we see this? Rabbi Eliezer, we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds this. It's done. We learned in the previous parak. Rabbi Eliezer and Amar is Beis Habad Machar Sakura. We said that Rabbi Eliezer said over there that if you sell a Beis Habad, an olive press, automatically you included the Koira. Because he said over there the Koira is a basic component of the Beis Habad, the big beam over there that you use for pressing the olive. Yeah, whereas the Chachamim disagreed with that. So we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds of that concept. You sell a Beis Habad, you're selling something which is a basic tashmish of it, which the Chachamim would disagree with.
What do you sell to the Chachamim when you say
that? Well, we said, according to the Chachamim over there, you sold the yam and the memel and the basulos and whatever different things that are attached to the ground. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we see holds a similar way, because we learned in that same parak also. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mahamurcher Sa'ir, Macher Sa'santer. We said over there in the previous parak that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if you sell a city, automatically you sell the santer with it. We had two possibilities over there in the Gemara. What the santer is, one that meant the fields that are near the city. The other one is that it meant that it was an Eved whose job it is to know where everybody's boundary lines, where everybody's property lines are. either way, that's he's a basic tashmish of the city, and therefore Rav Shimon Gamliel held that he sold the thing. Rav Meir, where do we see Rav Meir holds that? The Tanya, Rav Meir, Amar Machar, Sakerem Machar, Tashmishi Kerem. We have a Braisa, we quoted a couple times already, that Rav Meir says that if you sell a vineyard, you automatically sell with it the Tashmishi Kerem, the things that are necessary for the vineyard. We talked in the previous paragraph, for example, that according to, we said over there, for example, that when you sell a vineyard, you sell automatically with it the sticks that are in the ground that are used to support the vine. So we made a distinction over there, for example, that according to Rav Meir, once you have them prepared for use, they're already included in the sale, whereas according the chum and actually have to be in the ground, and so forth, with a bunch of other things that we had there. Rav Nosson the Sumchus, where do we see Rav Nosson and Sumchus hold this? Bitsis Vidugis, we see at the beginning of our perek, where it says that if you sell, there's a brice over there, two brices over there, where Rav Nosson and Sumchus respectively say that if you sell a boat, you automatically sell with it the Bitsis and the Dugis, which we said over there is a small boat that you use to get from a large ship onto the dry land in places where the water near the shore is shallow, where you don't have a proper harbor. So, because according to them, these are essential things for a boat, whereas the Chacham disagreed with that. And Nachum Amadi, was in our Mishnah where we see that he said that you sell also the stuff that's used for carrying packages. Then again, the fact that we're saying that all these six Tanoim hold basically the same way implies that the halacha is not like them. The halacha is like the humming in all those cases, that these various things are not included. Then we said Rabbi Yehuda Amar Parvei Mechurin Chulah. We said that Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that sometimes the gear on the donkey will be sold and sometimes not. He said it depends whether he said Chamor Chazeh, Zu, we're going to have an Argamara, or whether he says Chamor Chahu. So the question is, Maishno Chamorcha Zu, Maishno Chamorcha Hu. What's the difference whether you say Zu or Hu?
And she said both, I asked you.
You asked me, yeah, but we'll see in the Gemara, and I think that'll clarify that. Omar Rava, Chamorcha Zu, because like this, if he says your donkey, this one, the implication is Yoda the Chamriti Dehu. He knows that this donkey belongs to the other guy. Now, the Rashbam points out, we're not talking about over here, there aren't two donkeys over here where he could conceivably be saying, I want to buy this one as opposed to that one. There's only the one donkey over here. By saying ze, or zu, has to imply, b'hai d'kamalei zu, mishum kelev kamalei. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda feels that if he's saying zu or ze, can't mean this one as opposed to any other one, because there's no reason. Zu is feminine. Zeh is Lashon Zachar, Zu is Lashon Nekeva.
So why should we think that it implies a Kevin?
Because the fact that he says Zu or Zeh, depending masculine or feminine form, why else would he be saying it? So there's only the one donkey over here, and he knows that this donkey belongs to the other guy. So he's saying, Chamor Chazeh, this donkey of yours.
Maybe the donkey's a male or female.
No, the point is, why would he have to be saying this one? He could say, sell me your donkey. Sell me your donkey, and we would understand.
Your donkey would not be specific.
No, but because there's only the one donkey here right now. We're not talking about, he's not selling, he wouldn't be talking about, the two of us are standing in the street. I say, sell me your donkey, and there's only one donkey of yours here. Obviously, I mean this donkey. If I meant to say some other donkey, I would specify. I'd say, you have a donkey back home that has a white spot on its neck or whatever. I want you to sell that one.
It seems the opposite. If you say, zoo means only the donkey.
No. But that's what we're saying is
and without the kelim.
Because then you wouldn't have to say zoo at all. Then you would just say
no. If you said sell me the donkey, to me it would mean the donkey with the kelim.
Maybe that's why the Chacham disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know. Okay. On the other hand, chamor chahu. On the other hand, if he says it's your donkey, it means it's a form of a question. Chamor chahu. Is that your donkey? Or something like chamor chahu. If this is your donkey, then I want you to then I'd like you to sell it to me. D'lo yoda d'chamri didehu. So he doesn't even know whether the donkey belongs to the other guy. So therefore, what he's saying is chamor chahu shetim kerenoli. Is this your donkey? I would like you to sell it to me. But that doesn't imply that the gear would be included.
Contradicting chamor chahu means your donkey.
He's asking chamor chahu. Is this your donkey?
So, I think you say chamorcha.
Who? What do you mean? Is this your donkey? Is this your safer? Is this your watch or whatever? Why not? Chamorcha doesn't mean I know for sure it's yours. I'm asking you, or I want to verify. Is this in fact your donkey? If so, I would like to buy it. So therefore, that's not necessarily going to mean that it includes the kelim. And so, as far as your question, if you say chamorcha hizu, the pashtos, I mean, it still amounts to the same thing. Chamorcha hizu still amounts to asking that is this particular donkey your donkey? So it would be the same thing, the pashtos. Only if he says chamorcha zeh as a statement, this donkey, which I know already is yours, I want to buy it, then it means that the fact that he's saying zeh implies that he wants something extra to kelim. Yeah. I mean, the halacha is not like a Rebbe Yehuda anyway. The halacha is like
a
halacha.
Because there would be a lot of muscle there.
You wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
Not me. I mean, the lashon is ambiguous. Just pointing
Mishnah.
Out it can be ambiguous.
The Mishnah says, "Hamocher es a chamor. If you sell a donkey, mocher es a siach. Then automatically with it, you sell the baby donkey. The colt, I think, would be the word for it in English. A colt, I think it's called in English. Colt, yeah. C-O-L-T, yeah. Okay. On the other hand, mocher es a parah. Like mocher es b'nah. On the other hand, if you sell a cow, you didn't automatically sell the baby cow. We'll see in the Gemara why the distinction." Macher ashba, macher zibla, another din. If you sell somebody your dung heap, which is the ashba itself is a spot, which is a spot that Ashbam describes. It's either three tefachim deeper than the surrounding area, or three tefachim raised above the surrounding area. It's a place where you would usually put the dung from your animals to turn into fertilizer. So if you sell that spot, macher zibla, then automatically you sell the zevel, you sell any dung that is in there right now.
The spot of the dung, you sell the dung with it.
Then you sell the dung with it, yeah. Because then that kind of thing is bottled to it. There is a machloikas of shonim, and both possibilities are brought in Shulchan Aruch. What about the other way around? If you say I'm selling you the dung, does that automatically include the spot or not?
Obviously not.
Not necessarily. I mean, the Mishnah is not telling us one way or the other.
It doesn't have to. Because if it would include, you would say the other one.
You could, but you didn't. But you could argue that it means that also. If you sell all the zevel, then presumably you're selling the ashpa as well. If you're selling some of it, of course not. But macha bur macha memeha. Another din, if you sell somebody a water pit, then automatically you're selling the water that's in it right now. Macha kaveres, if you sell a beehive, macha dvarim, then automatically you sell the bees along with it. Macha shovach, macha yodim, and similarly, if you sell a birdhouse, then automatically you sell the doves, the pigeons with it, which means not only the pigeons that are in it right now, but the Rashbam says also the ones that regularly visit it. Because we learned in Bava Metzia that even those ones that aren't in it right now, but regularly come and visit this birdhouse, are considered yours midrabah.
So what do we know? We need the dvarim and the yodim.
Because each one, we could have, but these are practical dinim that people need to know when they're selling things. So therefore, the Mishnah wants to give us the common scenarios. Besides, you could argue, yeah, I mean, the bees usually stay close to their hive, whereas doves go around from one birdhouse to the next. What? Yeah, but they visit it regularly. But still, they're not tied to it in the way that bees are tied to their colony. Okay. So anyway, so the Rashbam is the one that says that that if you were to sell the zevel, then you didn't sell the ashba, and vice versa. And therefore, he says it's a dove of pasha. The Mishnah didn't need to mention it. But there are Rishonim who learn differently, who say that yeah. Okay. So we're going to ask Heichi Dami. This that we're saying in the Mishnah that if you sell a donkey. A female donkey, you automatically sold the baby donkey with it. You automatically sold the baby donkey with it, the siach. But if you sold a mother cow, you didn't automatically sell the baby. What's the scenario? Hey chidam, what's the case? If the case is that you said I'm selling you the mother and the baby, after the part of nonami, then even in the case of a cow and then the calf, then you should be included, of course. Yeah. And if you didn't mention anything about the child, after the chamor nami loy, then the baby donkey, the colt, shouldn't be included either. So what's the difference? Amar Papa, the case is chamor meniko para menika ani mocher. Yes, but the case is like this. Of course, if you just sell the chamor or the para, of course the Tana knows perfectly well the baby animal is not sold. The baby animal is a separate goof. What we're talking about over here is he says, I'm selling you a donkey which is lactating, which is giving milk, or a parah, which is giving milk. So therefore, Bishlema Pora Iklamema Lachalava Boiva. So if you're selling somebody a cow which is nursing, that doesn't necessarily include the baby because the other person could be intending to buy the cow for its milk. They'll have milk to drink. So therefore, that doesn't necessarily imply that you're selling the baby along with it.
If she's not nursing.
No, we're talking about that the mother animal is nursing. And you're saying, I'm going to sell you my nursing cow, or I'm going to sell you my nursing donkey. So with a cow, there's no reason to say that a nursing cow necessarily includes the baby. The milk of the cow can have two purposes. It can be to feed the baby, but it can also be to milk it, and you'll have for your breakfast cereal. We can assume that it's that. Therefore, the baby is not going to be included. El Hamur, my Kamale, but with a donkey, why would you be telling him, I'm selling you a nursing donkey? You can't use the donkey's milk. It's safe. You'd have no use for it. Evidently, then, by saying I'm selling you a nursing donkey, you must automatically be intending to include the baby, because that's the only purpose that the donkey's milk could possibly have, is to feed the baby. So that's what it is. The Gemara asks about my...
They say you use the milk of the donkey, even though it's tracked, it's usable for industrial purposes.
If there's an industrial purpose that it's used for, then fine, I'll call committee on the dinner. But I guess in those days, I mean, in theory you have, and the Gemara mentioned the Shabbos, for example. I think that there's a Bryce over there. I think that milk of a treif animal can be used, for example, to mix eyeshadow or eye medicine or whatever. So you have, but you know, you're not going to use it in large quantities. But okay, nowadays, if it's something you use it for in large quantities, fine. Yeah. The Gemara says, "Am I
correct? When you buy a female cow that's nursing, you know you have, as long as you keep her the right way, she's going to give you milk."
Fine.
That's where you get milk from. You won't get milk out of a cow that's in that baby here.
Okay. The same thing applies to a donkey. But the difference is, the donkey, you don't really have. No, it is true. They have nowadays cows that give milk once they've had a baby. As long as you keep on milking the cow, it'll keep producing milk. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. It says, "Am I correlates yuch? Why? Okay. Why is the baby chamur called a siach? Part of the question is in the Mishnah we had siach and then we had bna for the para. Why don't we just use the word bna for both of them? Why did the Mishnah tell us a separate word siach for the baby donkey? The reason is from halachas sichana. Incidentally, the Mishnah wanted to teach us another fact, which is that a baby donkey will go after sichana, after nice talk. In other words, an older donkey is a more stubborn animal. You have to goad it, you have to whip it or whatever. But a baby donkey is more tractable. All you need to do is call it or motion to it or whatever, and it'll go where you want it to go. Which brings us to a piece of Agadah. And for this piece of Agadah, really, ideally we need a chumash. you mind getting us a chumash, one of the five chumash, or just bring a chumash by midbar. That's what we'll need. Thanks. Okay. The Torah tells us in Parshas Chukas how the Jewish people fought against Sichon and conquered his land and took it over, and that eventually became the land of Reuben and Gad and Kafishet and Manasseh. The Torah tells us that how does this land come to be in possession of the Jewish people in the first place? Sichon had previously fought against the Moab at some previous time and had conquered this piece of land from them, and now the Yidden are able to take it from them. This is the famous Amun Moab Tar of the Sichon, saying that this land would have been off limits to the Yidden because they're not allowed, the Eivishter told them in Parshas Devarim, you're not allowed to fight against Moab or Amun or Edom and take over any of their land. We learned previously in Armas Echsa that those are, according to one opinion, the lands of Keni, Knezi, and Kanmoni that are reserved for Yemos Mashiach. But like this, Sichon conquered this land from Moab, therefore we're allowed to take it from Sichon. Then the Torah goes and interjects in a couple of psukim. The pasuk starts by saying, "Alkein, therefore, about this, Yomru haMoshlim." First, we'll talk about the simple meaning of the psukim. The Moshlim, meaning the people who would say Mishalim, Rashi says it means Bilam and Ba'er. They said as follows. They said in connection. No, we're going to see in our Gemara that Moshlim means more something more like rulers. But in the simple pshat of the pasuk, Moshlim means more means people who make mashalim, people who speak in mashalim, who speak in parables and riddles and poetry and things like that. Namely, namely Bilam and his father Bar. So what happens? Rashi says that on the pasukim over there, regarding that previous war where Sichon had fought against Moab and conquered this territory from them, Bilam and his father Ba'ur had previously said in Nevuah that he is going to be successful. Matter of fact, Rashi mentions later in Parshas Balak, when Balak comes to Bilam and says, I want you to curse the Jewish people because I know whoever you curse is cursed and whoever is blessed is blessed. He was talking about that time over there. I know from past experience that, yeah, that your curses and your blessings were because in that case, he cursed Moab. In that case, he cursed Moab, and it was effective because Sichon conquered that territory. So the Moshlim said as follows, Boyu Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon, Tibonev Sikon and Ir Sichon, let the city of Sichon be built and established. In other words, let the city of Cheshbon, which previously was Moabi territory, let it be built up and established as Sichon's new capital. Ki Eish Yotzam Cheshbon, because a fire has come out from Cheshbon, Lahava Mekiryas Sichon, a flame has come out from the city of Sichon, Ochla Or Mor, Ochla Or Moab, it consumed Or, which is the name of a region of Moab. Bale Bames Arnon, the people who have the high places along the Arnon River. He continues, Oylecha Moav, woe to you Moav, this is actually says it's cursing Moav, Avad Ta'am Kamosh, you people of Kamosh, that was the name of the national Avodah Zarah Moav, are lost. Nosan Bona Platim of Mesa Bashvis, you've given over your children, your sons are fugitives and your daughters are captives, Lamelech Amori Sichon to the Amori King Sichon. We continue, Van Niram, Vaniram Ovad, their kingship is lost. Niram means kingship. Vaniram Ovad Cheshbon, their kingship is lost from Divon. Ad is lost from Cheshbon. Ad Divon is removed from Divon. This is according to Rashi, different other Mepharshim on the pasuk have somewhat different explanations of the words, but whatever. Anyway, Vanashim Ad Nofach, we destroyed it until Nofach, the name of the place. Asher Ad Medva, which is all the way till Medva. These are the names of places in that region. And then the pasuk continues, the Jewish people took over that territory. Now, what do we need those pasukim for? What's the purpose of those? That's what's bothering our Gemara over here. What's the purpose of those pasukim? To be informed that Sichon took over the territory from Ammon and Moab. Fine, we have the previous pasuk tells us that Sichon fought against Moab and conquered it. We don't need the exact, on the face of it, we don't need the exact words that Bilam and Baur used to curse Moab and to bless Sichon. What's the purpose of those few pasukim? That's what the Gemara is going to darshan now. The Gemara, in particular, the Gemara is going to darshan, where we'll see that the Cheshbon over here, the Cheshbon is not just the name of the city, but it means Cheshbon as in making a calculation. Which, by the way, the Maharal talks about it in one of his Sfarim in Be'er HaGoyla. He says it's not so far. The drosha that we're going to have over here in the Gemara seems very far fetched, seems very very far removed from the simple meaning of the psukim. It's going to talk about the importance of calculating, about conquering your Yetzirah and realizing the importance of mitzvahs versus averus as opposed to being a rasha, etc. It's written in the Torah after all. But anyway, it's written in the Torah, so therefore it becomes part of the Torah. But the Maharal, so a couple of Mepharshim asked the question. I mean, so it's very far fetched from the meaning of the Pesukim. So okay, the Rashba says, yeah, it's not the Gemara wanted to teach us these concepts, and therefore use these Pesukim as a hook to hang it on. The Maharal says a little differently. He says, in the original Nevuah that Bilam and Ba'ur said, they themselves, they're Moshlim, they're people who speak in riddles and parables and whatever, they can't just be talking on the simple level themselves. When they use the words Boyu Cheshbon, they themselves have to mean it with a double meaning. Not just come to Cheshbon as a name of the city, but also consider, make a Cheshbon regarding the city, regarding this area. Does it really deserve to be under the control of Moab, or should it be the new glittering capital of a great guy like Sichon? And therefore, and on that basis, they're saying they're Nevuah. So since we see that they themselves are using the word Cheshbon in that dual sense of the city as well as a Cheshbon as in a calculation, figuring it out, then that leads the Gemara to say, okay, well, now we're going to talk about the kind of figuring out that's important for all time, not just for that period in history. So, my dechtiv, alken yomer ha-moshlim, what do these psukim mean that the moshlim say, etc.? Hamoshlim elo hamoshlim b'yitzram. When we say hamoshlim, means the people who control their yetzahara. Moshel, as in a ruler. Yeah. than a person who rules and controls his Yetzer Hara. The Rashbam uses the word tzaddikim, but yeah, he may mean tzaddikim in the borrowed sense, or he may mean, no, even tzaddikim in the Tanya's sense, who completely eradicated the Yetzer Hara. That's certainly controlling it. What do they say? Boyu cheshbon. They say come to cheshbon, meaning boyu nechashet cheshbon yishalolim. Come, let's calculate the calculation of the world, the important calculation of the world. Hefted mitzvah keneged schara or schara veda keneged afseda. Let's figure out the loss of a mitzvah as how it's counterbalanced by its gain. You lose sometimes when you do a mitzvah. For example, the Rashbam says, let's say for example you gave tzedakah, now you have less money. You're doing a mitzvah, therefore you're not at your business. You're not earning money at that time. But on the other hand, consider the schar that you have loss of love, which is much greater than that. Uschar aveda keneged afseda. And similarly, make a calculation about there's the potential gain that you think you'll get from an aveda, but consider the loss if you do that aveda, the loss that you're going to have much more loss of love. That's the kind of calculation to make. Tibane v'sikonin, and the passage continues, it will be built and established, meaning if you act like that, tibane v'olam azev v'sikonin v'olam abba. Yeah, you'll be built up in this world and you'll be established in the next world. On the other hand, Ir Sichon. On the other hand, the pasuk continues the city. The pasuk continues the city of Sichon, meaning im mesim odem atzmi ka'ayu zesh mahalachachat Sichona. If a person instead makes himself like an ayu, meaning a young, an ayu is another word for the siach that we were mentioning before, the baby donkey. That's why the Gemara is bringing this in over here. If a person starts acting like a baby donkey, and listens to the Yetzirah and to the Apikorsim and whatever, and doesn't control his Yetzirah, shemahalachachat Sichona, and he just follows any kind of sweet, smooth talk to convince him to do. So he becomes ir sichon, he becomes ir, he becomes like an ayir, and sichon, that he goes after sichon.
Is there any difference between siach with a sana and siach with a shin?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I'll tell you soon what it talks about in Siddur. But let's first get through the straightforward meaning. So, if a person acts like that, what does the pasuk afterwards continue? The pasuk continues, a fire comes out from cheshbon, meaning a fire will come out from the tzaddikim and the beinanim, the ones who made that calculation that we said before and realized the importance of staying away from avodas, and that fire will consume the ones that ain't mechashbon, the people who don't make that kind of calculation and end up following their yetzahara and doing avodas. In what sense do you have a fire coming out from one to the other? So the Rashbam says, like we learned before in the whole Agadta about the tzaddikim loss of lover. You have each one has his chuppah, and each one is burnt from the chuppah of the other one because he realizes the other one's accomplishments and is jealous. So here also the reward, the schar of the tzaddikim ends up burning the rishayim. Marsha and also the Vilna Gaon have a whole explanation on it based on a Gemara. In Chagiga, that says that every person has a chelek reserved for, so to speak, reserved for him in Gan Eden and also in Gehenna. So a tzaddik winds up getting his portion in Gan Eden, as well as the portion of a rasha who was near him, who ended up staying a rasha and didn't learn from him and become a tzaddik, and therefore forfeited his place in Gan Eden. And the rasha, vice versa, winds up getting his own portion in Gehenna, as well as the one that would have been for the tzaddik had he not been a tzaddik. So therefore, in that sense, the fire comes out from the tzaddik and then consumes the non-tzaddik.
So he's definitely punished.
Yeah, that's the point.
My portion, yeah. Gehenna, is up for grabs.
In other words, first of all, because of what he himself did, and second of all, because he had a good example to learn from and didn't. And the pasuk continues, a flame comes forth from the city of Sichon, meaning here we're using the word Sichon in a different sense than before. Before we used Sichon to mean the Rishayim, who follow Sichono, who follow sweet, smooth talk. Now we're going to use the word Sichon to mean the Tzaddikim. The curious Tzaddikim Shenikur Sichon. It'll come from the city of Tzaddikim, who are called Sichon. Sichon means trees or bushes. Because the tzaddikim are compared to trees. Tzaddik katramu yifrach and many other psukim that the Rashbam brings tzaddikim are compared to different things, but in a certain sense, tzaddikim are compared to trees. Because they stand strongly and firmly against them.
Trees, birds.
Yeah. Same way as we say that the Torah is compared to all different kinds of liquids, each one in its own way. The Torah is compared to water and wine and milk.
Is it used in the Zohar term, tzaddikim kadishin?
No, that's kakal pafukim kadishin, you think that? That's a level of the Shrin, I don't understand. Okay. I we probably won't have time to get through this whole piece of Agadta today. We'll probably have to continue it tomorrow. But I do want to break off a second and explain what, and then talk about what it says in Siddhas on this on this first part of it here, emotional b'yitzra and boyu cheshbon. The Alter Rebbe talks about it. There's Maimon and Lakut Torah on it, and Parshas Chukas. There's also Maimorim from the later Rebbeim talking about the ins and outs of this. They talk about the idea, the Moshlim B'Yitzrim, okay, means exactly what we said, that they control the Yetzirah and don't follow it. What's the Cheshbon Shel Olam? What's this important Cheshbon of the world that you have to think about? It says, is the Cheshbon, why did the Eibishter put us in the world in the first place? Why did the Eibishter create a world, which is a Helem, Olam Eloshim Helem, that Elokus is hidden, and why did the Eibishter put us in it? That is the Cheshbon Shel Olam, the calculation, the realization, what we're here for and what the world is here for. And so we say that if a person does that, then we said tibone v'sikonin, and we say that the Gemara over here is using the word ir sichon in a negative sense, that a person is like an ayur, like a wild animal that follows sichana, that follows nice talk. And Chassidus it puts a more positive spin on it, that the sichana over here actually refers to davening. Davening can be called sicha, first of all, speaking to the Eibishter, also you were asking about samach versus sin. So in all these places, beginning in the Kutta Torah, it talks about that since it's spelled with a samach over here, it's also meloshin hesech, as in hesech adas, like moving. Hesech adas means your mind is on one thing and you're moving it to something else. So sicha na can also mean moving to a different place, meaning you yourself, when you're being oisik in avodas atfila, you're moving yourself to a different place than you were before in midas, and you're also
in addition to
the meaning of speaking, yeah. And additionally, it's also the Alter Rebbe also refers it to another meaning of the word sicha, which means swimming, like you're moving around in the water. But also, you're moving yourself. You're also moving the Eibishter kavyachol because you move his rotten. Therefore, davening really can be called sicha na. If a person is mechashev cheshbon shel olam, then it brings him to sichana. It brings him to where he should be in davening, and that in turn, as the Gemara goes on over here, it brings out a fire from cheshbon, a flame from kiryas sicha, and the fire and the flame of ava to the Eibishter that comes as a result of the sichana, as a result of a proper avodas atfila.
The Lashon Olam comes from Elam. Elam means
hiddenness.
Hiddenness. In other words, does that mean that we have a mitzvah to enlighten it?
Yes, that's the purpose.
Or it means just that the Eibishter is removing himself from this world so we shouldn't see him.
The Eibishter did make there is a tzimtzum, but our job is to reveal the course in the world. Our job is to know the Havaya Hu Ha'elikim, that the tzimtzum itself is Elikos, and that then to reveal all the course in the world. The ultimate of that is the Mos Mashiach.
Is really pointing to a mitzvah that we have.
That's the whole purpose. Nisava Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, this is a tzimtzum. The reason why the Eibishter created the world in the first place is that we should make it into a dwelling place. Right?
Yeah, I understand. But
okay.
Is that
so?
It's
not
in the word Helam.
Yes, that's the word Helam, meaning hiddenness. The implication is there's something hidden there which you're responsible for uncovering. Yeah. And so we'll continue with the drasha tomorrow. That's the shem.